One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress, and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts, and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Preach that, Madonna. Little clue to what our show is about today. I'm so excited. And if you're listening, thinking, oh, that's a lovely crisp listen, it's because we're back in the studio. We're not on the old wonky Zoom. Zoom is brilliant. If you want to sponsor us, please do. Anyway, the voice you can hear is me, Hattie Ashdown, and welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. We're on Soho Radio, of course, if you're listening, on there and in association with the Other Woman Show. So, joining me today, she's, of course, the ant to my deck. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
She's back.
Hi.
If you've listened chronologically, they'll know you wasn't on the last one.
That's right. I'm back, yeah. After my vacation.
She was too young to be on the last show because it was about older mums. And she's a young mum.
Yeah, gym slip mum
compared to us old geriatrics on the last podcast. But let's get to where we are today. You're all right, though, love. You're all right.
Yep.
This is a slightly different show. I mean, maybe my last show, because we are in association with The Other Woman, which is all about new women in music or comedy. And my, if it's the first time, is new people in comedy. We thought we'd do a little special. So we have let two men into the show.
Two old men.
Because,
excuse me.
Because men, you know, they need a little bit of help, don't they, in the comedy world. And so we thought we'd let them on. So for the Funny Fathers special, I couldn't say Funny Daddy because it just sounds a bit pervy. Please welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast comedians and dads
and soldiers.
And soldiers. Here we go. It's going to strap in for this one, is what I'm going to say. First of all, he's comedian and dad of one, Carl Donnelly.
Hi, everyone.
And Julian Dean.
Hi.
Dad of, we think, five.
Yeah.
And
about five.
You also know them from the very famous Two Vegan Idiots podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited about this.
Why?
Just because, you know, one, it's like, we've not had men on
this
show.
We're going to get all giggly because it's in the studio.
Already we're all just talking over each other. Okay, what we'll do is we do a little like icebreaker at the beginning.
Yes.
We know you two don't really need an icebreaker, but
we don't speak when we don't do our podcast.
Oh, is it?
Even in the street.
Very just bad professional relationship.
Okay, so it's like a quick fire round. Don't think about it. Think about it too much. Who wants to go first? So we're not, or maybe one of you just jump in.
Okay.
We're just two. Okay, number one. What sort of dad are you? Are you more Ian Beale or the dad for Modern Family, Phil Dunphy?
I'm a dad that doesn't watch either of those.
Yeah, same here.
I know Ian Beale is, though. So.
You know he is.
But is he a good or bad dad? I don't know.
He's not a good dad, is he?
Is he not?
He's a bit of a wet dad, isn't he? He keeps losing, like, wives and children and...
That's me.
He's got children all over the place.
It's based on me, Ian Beale.
Patient zero for Ian Beale over here.
And Phil Dunphrey from Modern Family. You not watch Modern Family?
No, I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I've always wanted to, actually.
Oh, it's brilliant. I just
don't do things I want to.
What's his dad technique?
Have you seen it, Gemma?
He's like fun, isn't he?
He's like fun dad.
I'm a Modern Family dad.
I am as well, then. Fun, cool, crazy.
Yeah, I think you are, Julian. Yeah. I think you are. Number two.
Absent, you know, all of those things. Not really kids.
When you was a child, what was your biggest dream? I've gone a bit deep, Gemma.
To have a
family that loved me. Hugs, really.
I wasn't a dreamer when I was a kid. I was quite a morose kid.
Was you?
I've become much happier in adulthood, which is the opposite normally, isn't it?
That's nice.
Normally, life beats your dreams out of you. Because I had none. Life has been nothing but... A lot of fun. So, you know, that's the way to do it. Tell your kids never dream.
Yeah.
And then they'll have a good childhood.
Keep their aspirations.
Yeah, ruin their childhood to make a better adulthood.
Well, because my...
Don't take that advice. That is not a real
gamble,
bit of advice.
It is a gamble, that one, though, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a risk. My parents, I don't think, did it by choice. I think they did it accidentally, but it paid off.
My son yesterday said, when I get older, I want to be a scientist because I want to make a machine that means that when I get older, I can go back in time... And my family is the hobby family, which is this YouTube family. And I'm like, why? Because they're a lot more fun.
We need to close that book, son.
Can I just say, we like really
Give
limit
an iPad, mate.
We limit the YouTube like time and everything. But I don't know if that's making it worse because it's like trying to take a drug away from a drug addict. You know,
just give them drugs.
Yeah, six.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've not got to that point yet.
Don't bring in the iPad, is what I'm saying.
I don't own an iPad.
Yeah,
so my
just
daughter
don't do
hasn't
it.
Seen I, one. She wouldn't have a clue what it is.
Doesn't even know what an iPad is.
No.
Oh, beautiful.
She's only one.
She's 18 months.
18
months. So, yeah, she wouldn't really.
Oh, lovely age.
Yeah, oh, lovely.
Julian, complete the sentence. I wish everyone could...
Shut the...
I knew you were going to say...
I didn't swear. Everyone would just look at their own stuff and stop bugging me.
Oh, I thought it was going to go really deep then.
Keep their side of the street clean.
Love it. Carl?
I wish everyone would just calm down. That's my general life motto. Currently, it's quite fitting. I think everyone's lost their minds.
Oh, yes, they have. Okay, so we thought we'd ask you two questions that we often ask the mums in this show. Breastfeeding, heaven or hell?
My wife's still breastfeeding, 18 months, still going.
So an extended breastfeeder.
Yeah, she's gone for it. My daughter really still loves it. Like, you know, and it's the thing, it does get creepier when they become toddlers because they have agency over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My wife will be watching telly and my daughter will go up and just lift her top up and be like, I want some of that now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of...
When you try it, she's like...
Gemma, wasn't it you that once you look down and they're wearing shoes, it's like, no.
No, it was Viv. Yeah.
It's good for them, though. My youngest was breastfed until older than that.
How
old?
She's
17. It was my boob.
How's she getting on with life?
Her mum went around. No, she was breastfed until about that age, I think. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. But it's nice.
For you as dads, it's easier, surely, because you haven't got messed about with bottled up.
She's never had a bottle, ever.
I can't wake her up.
Never had a bottle.
She's never had a bottle.
Not combi fed, as they call it.
It's just been... She's not pure,
I mean, if the milk's
school.
Coming, then it's
oh, yeah, there
right,
is stuff coming. She's not just sucking on her one's boobs.
Well, I don't
just for a bit of fun.
Just kissing her neck.
On a bit of... Right, let's move on. I knew that was a dodgy question. The one we ask mums is leggings or jeans?
Leggings or jeans? Is this for us mums or the kids?
However you want to interpret it.
I mean, I wear jeans.
I would. I have worn leggings. I went through a phase.
I've actually got leggings.
I bet you have, Carl.
Well, yeah. I went through a bit of a, like, I was well into glam rock when I was growing up, so I had little phases. And only, and during a period of my comedy career, I used to have a bit of makeup on, and sometimes I'd like
leggings.
A women's jean tight sort of legging type. I was going through a divorce. It's
the old
story.
The old divorce one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was looking
and a
cool.
Yoga mat, innit? And a £2,000 bike.
Yeah, three tattoos. That's what actually happened. Tattoos, women's clothes. Then I sorted my head out.
Perfect. Okay. My school's just text me. Now that's worrying me. So I might have to put a song on just to see why the school was text me.
You need to uphold the ban from the gates.
Yeah, I don't. Let's put on. Okay. I thought we'd do a little bit. Let's just do it back to back, Madonna, because this is one of Carl's choices. And I say, no, it wasn't Carl, Julian's choices. And I was like, yes. Why haven't we played more Madonna on this show? Any reason why you like this song?
I just love Madonna.
Just love Madonna. Yeah. Mm. Okay, you'll listen to The Funny Mummies on Soho Radio. It's actually not that one. It's Dancing on My Own, Robin. But let's just keep going with it, Giles. There you go. I just always like to keep you on your toes. We'll have Madonna next time. And in case you're worrying, it was a text from the school to remind me there's no dance class after school today. Aww. Because of a certain thing that's going around. So what we're going to do, boys and girl, is if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Funny Mummies with a Funny Father's special. So... we're going to ask you to pick a number from 1 to 53. And that's all our past shows. And then we thought it'd be funny if, with that topic, we can talk about that for a little bit. And I really hope it's a good one. So who wants to pick a number first?
You go first.
33.
I'm glad you didn't go for the lower ones.
Oh, that was Holly Walsh.
Ah.
Who is the writer of Motherland.
How the hell are you going to talk about this? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
What was the title?
TV Mums with Holly Walsh writing Motherland.
Okay, we did a series on TV Mums. So either we were talking to mums that have been on TV or written. So obviously she co-wrote Motherland and or people that have played mums. So we also
who are your growing up, like who are your favourite TV mums and
TV
why?
Mums.
I quite like that mum in Motherland, actually. I saw her on a bike.
Who plays?
Which one? There's like
one that was in, what was that crime programme, the big one recently?
Line of Duty?
Yes.
Anna Maxwell Martin?
Her.
Yeah.
Gemma's favourite.
She was so good in Motherland.
Brilliant.
She's so funny.
Well, she's a proper actress, isn't she?
Yeah, like proper. Intense.
She's a real trained actress, not like a...
She must run me down on her bike as well.
Did she? Yeah. That's
so very
typical.
Flattered.
Typical Anna Maxwell Martin there.
Yeah. So you both watched it, have you?
I've not watched it. I'm really
bad. Really
I hardly
good.
Watch anything.
You don't own a TV?
I do own a TV, but it's basically currently it has a couple of CBeebies shows on it a day, and that's it. I don't watch anything else. I watch Succession once a week on Now TV.
Yeah.
And that's my entire media input.
What time does CBeebies go on?
Well, there's a couple of... Basically, there are rules to it.
Okay.
But I don't let it just be on all day. Because often if my wife's working during the day, I'll be on sort of all day dad duties. And it's like, I try to do it in pockets.
Yeah.
I'll be like, right, you can have two episodes of Bluey, and then that's that, and then we're going to play and read. Or then it'll be like, all right, we can watch one something special.
Bluey? Not a Bluey.
Bluey is...
can watch one Bluey.
Look, just one grot film, and then... Daddy's got stuff to do. Bluey is the best. I think it's the best cartoon I've ever seen. Have you seen it?
Is it? It's after my time, but is it? There's some kind of morality to it.
Every episode is written so well. It's always
Australian.
Got a little moral tale. It's an Australian cartoon about a family of dogs.
Yeah, and if you describe it, it's
amazing.
I know, but it's so well written and voiced.
Yeah,
and like it's one of them classic ones where it's like it's as good for the adults as it is for the kids.
Yeah, you don't mind watching it. You're not like, oh no, not the Night Garden again.
Or Bing.
Yeah.
Bing. I hate Bing.
I don't understand the family dynamics.
I don't want to swear or anything, but I hate him. Yeah. Like, I know he's a little baby bunny, but I genuinely think he's the most annoying thing I've ever seen on television. Such a little wet wipe, isn't he? Just always... Sorry.
I do apologise for the makers of Bing.
No, I mean... Does Twyla like Bing?
No, do you know what? She's not mad about him. She also thinks he's a bit of a melt. I think Bing does. It tries to have that morality tale. Each time, each episode, it's like, oh, this week Bing's going to break something. And it feels sad. And it's like it tries to teach you a lesson. But I think it does it in a very clunky way that makes you sort of, as an adult, judge him more harshly.
Oh, it's just whingy.
It's very whingy, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Or whatever, it's not.
So Bluey is great. It's the only one we all watch together, and sometimes it does have that thing of like making me feel a bit of a crap parent because they're like
you'll have that when she gets
a bit older.
Yeah.
Where they like my kids are now doing the thing where they're copying a lot of the game, so they might say, "Mummy, let's do Robot Mummy." Yeah. So Robot Mummy is basically where you just play freeze all the time. So they'll say, "Mummy, do this," and then you have to freeze, and then they'll like put your finger up your nose. And fun things like that, which is like sometimes I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm open. Robot Mummy, you just let. I've just
no.
Seen
I was waiting for a good time to say that your button's undone. But you know,
I hadn't spotted it. Just to clarify,
good. It's only a pair of. I know he had. But it's only a pair of old saggy breastfed but boobs. Anyway, God, dear me. Right, pick another number.
17.
17 was... Okay, holding your S-H-I-T in as a stepmum.
Oh.
Are either of you step-parents?
No.
No. To think about that. any of my side chicks got any kids?
That was with Lucy Frederick,
yeah?
Yeah, I guess it was just about...
What does she mean, holding it in?
I think it's biting
her lip?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, because she's not the mum's on the scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're all very amicable and
yeah,
they
all
get
three
on
of them,
and everything.
Yeah.
But she's got to hold it.
Yeah,
but
because she's not the mum.
Every episode of any other person's kids, really, don't you? Like, I'd have to do it my nephews and niece. You know, I always was like, I'm not going to judge because I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
And now I'm a parent, I'm like, I am judging how my brother parents.
That is the complete opposite.
Well, not in a hard way. I don't mean it in a rude way. Like, what I mean is things like iPads and stuff like that. You know, my brother is very much a give him the iPad.
Right.
Like for hours and let him just be. So whereas I'm very anti all that sort of stuff.
But, I would sort of say wait till they're older. But, I don't know. Yeah, what were you going to say, Gemma? You're the opposite.
Yeah. I judged and judged and judged and judged. I judged and judged and then I was like, oh, actually, yeah. It's actually quite difficult, isn't it, to be a parent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is. I'm not saying I've got more judgmental, but I definitely now I actually have some point of reference when I see somebody doing something. In the past, I might have thought that doesn't seem like the greatest parenting.
Yeah,
I would have gone like, well, you can't judge because you don't know. Now I can actually look and sort of place myself on
the
spectrum.
Informed judgment.
Yeah. Now I can see like, oh, they're doing something better than me, or they're doing something probably worse than me.
I think it's that thing of turning other people's kids off. Al had his birthday party a few months ago.
You can't really do that,
No, but I was speaking to one of the other mums.
Yeah.
Just give them a whack where they ain't looking.
But she was just like, I love turning other people's kids off. She's like, oh, yeah, I love turning other people's kids off.
Trip them up.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember I was talking about the time I had somebody tell Huxley off, like twice.
Did that really annoy you?
Definitely.
It was somebody I got like friendly with. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, only in a sense that we went to football, we used to meet toddler football, and then like a couple of times go, oh, do you want to go for coffee afterwards?
Yeah. I'd be on my kid's side, man, straight away. I'd get in their face, man.
Yeah, so what did they say?
I'm trying to remember it now, but it was just kind of like, it was just like he was doing something, and was like, no, Huxley, like that. That one
that
kind
is
of,
not
and
allowed.
I was like, whoa,
I'll say no, you, mate.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm a bit rubbish, and it so took me by surprise. I just sort of didn't say anything that time. I thought, I'm ready when she says it, does it again.
Yeah.
And
did you say anything to Huxley afterwards? Like, no.
He was so little, but I would now. But, yeah, no, it's a horrible feeling.
I remember a teacher telling me off in front of my mum, and I'm thinking, my mum should step in. Yeah, she didn't. Yeah. I remember feeling a little bit like betrayed.
You Judas.
What were you being told off for? Do you know? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was about five and I went out of school. just walked out to Woolworths and then came back. So she was worried about me. That's why she was angry.
Yeah.
So she was quite angry. She bent down to my little level and had a go at me. And my mum's just standing there like some lemon, mate.
Yeah. She didn't know what to say.
No, you got to back me, man.
No, exactly. But
it's hard, isn't it? As when I don't know. Hopefully, we never have to go through any like our kids being bullied or anything. But I remember when I was bullied at school, as all good comics are, I think. my mum was a bit rubbish, but then she bucked up the courage to say something to the mum, which wasn't maybe the best tactic.
I don't know. No, that's probably not a bad angle.
I think that's a technically better one.
I once got
battered by a big kid. Like, proper just, like, I stupidly got into a fight with, like, a very hard big boy. And I was only, like, 6 or 7. And my mum
was sniffing.
Went ballistic.
No, because he said a hard big boy. And oh, I know. Just,
oh. Yeah, I know. Julian's mind had about 25 jokes on the go. But he realised it's not our podcast. Yeah. You can just say that. But, my mum went down to school the next day and laid into him. He was like a 7-year-old boy. My mum was like a little Irish lunatic.
I bet he didn't do it again, though, did he?
No, he didn't. We actually ended up being mates. But, yeah, it's nice. He got it out of his system that time. He punched me in the head multiple times.
Established the hierarchy of that.
He worked
that
out. He just wanted to just get out of his system.
He does... No, this didn't help, I think.
Did your bully carry on after your mum spoke to his mum?
It was, if anything.
Oh, God.
Was it a boy or girl?
It was a girl. She was nicking my penguin out of my lunchbox every day.
It's rude.
Yeah.
Someone did that to me, but looking back, I'm thinking they were hungry, though. Yeah. There was a big deal about it, and they had to replace my packed lunch. But looking back, they were just like poor and hungry.
Oh, yeah, God. I didn't think
Why were the
like
teachers
that?
Condemning that? Like, feed the kids then. Yeah.
Oh, God. Actually, I forgot. My son did get a little bit of trouble last year. He was saying that a boy wasn't being very nice for him, and he was invited him to his birthday party a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, what, to make friends?
Well, I don't know. He just got an invite, and I said, "You sure you want to go? This is the boy, you know." And he was like, "No, we're friends now." And I think it's that thing of maybe you want to be
so
friends
fickle.
With the bully, like you said.
Yeah.
He went, "Yeah, last year he was ruining my life, but it's all right now," is what he said.
Yeah.
Like, aww. Oh,
yeah, that's what I found. That technique to get him to like you is just give him some target practice on your face.
Just headbutt their fist.
I can't imagine you were bullied at school, Jem.
I don't know. I went to a Catholic girls' school.
Were you the bully?
No, I was. Yeah, there was a few episodes, but I brought it on myself. To be fair, I was a bit
mouthy,
slutty.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
What, in an all girls' school?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Unpack this.
Yeah. They're the worst. They're the worst. Surely, aren't they? Oh, sorry. I'm really
stereotyping. Who are the worst?
Well, that used to be the thing when I was growing up. I was like, oh, don't go to girls' school because they're all eggs.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's why we used to hang around.
Because they're there at the gates, like any boys going past.
Well, I went to a Catholic boys' school, and it was on a parallel road to a Catholic girls' school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, there was, a lot going
down. Because you're keeping them apart.
In the alleyways.
Oh, yeah. It was, and then you just throw the Catholicism on top of it, and it's just, you just have yourself a little sex party, really.
That's all right.
Sounds sexy. God, Julian, you're rubbing off on me.
Sorry, I'll stand back a little bit.
Now, I love this next song, and I want to make sure we get it in. So, Carl, this is one of yours.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Pat Butcher then, but it's not Pat.
Pat Benatar.
Pat Benatar. Any particular reason why?
This was one of my intro tracks in one of my Edinburgh shows.
I knew it.
I love Pat Benatar, and this is a great intro song for a show.
Oh, beautiful bit of Pat Benatar there. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. And we're here with Gemma Beagley, Carl Donnelly and Julian Dean. And I think it's going quite well, don't you?
It's going all right.
I think it's going all right. There might be a few bits I might have to edit out, but it's going all right. So we're taking a trip down memory lane of past podcasts and using them as a springboard for our conversation. Do you want to pick a number, Julian? An episode?
I will pick 27.
27 was... Birth Stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
From that series. It was Esther Manitos.
Oh. Oh.
Can you remember anything specific about that?
Oh, yeah, that was just me and her for that one. No. But she had a, she was one of them that had a good birth. There were, you know, like...
She's got more than one, hasn't she?
Two. Yeah, boy and a girl.
We had a good, but my wife had a good birth, like a good one. Pretty much, not exactly how it planned. Like, we didn't get the birth centre.
Yeah.
Which no one gets the birth
centre. No one, it's a myth.
I've said it.
I don't think it exists.
I've said I've got a theory that they Airbnb it out. So they show it to you and then somebody stays it. But, like, it's, everything else was about us. You know, it was all natural.
Oh, of course, I went on your podcast.
Before, you told us your birth story.
Yeah.
And then, so that was while, so Hannah was trying to sort of learn what it was, like, get as many birth stories as possible to learn what she was in for. And she went into it super chilled. I've never known anything like it. She was so relaxed. To this day, and this is not, this is going to sound like some sort of indictment on other people, but she swears blind it didn't hurt. She said it wasn't pain, it was just a discomfort.
That's what Josie Long
said. At no point does she
say
it's pain.
I agree. But I think it's for me, it was about the energy that it took rather than...
Yes.
I don't remember it being painful. I just remember it being really tiring.
Did you have drugs and stuff?
Just gas and air.
Bit of yayo. Just gas and air, but that kind of helps the pain, does it? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, does it? I don't know.
Did you like gas and air?
Oh, yeah, I loved
it. It was good.
I had a little trial.
I had a go as well.
Yeah.
Like, and Hannah didn't like the gas and air because it made her a bit too woozy.
Yeah.
So she just went cold turkey. But I had the gas and air. It was lovely.
It was delicious.
It was, isn't it?
Good of it.
Yeah, all of it.
Really took, really took the edge off all the stress I was going through watching my wife give birth.
You're not being stereotypical dads or anything. Did either of you have to do any hypnobirthing stuff where, you know, you're having to...
Ren's mum actually became a hypnobirther after that.
Did she?
Because she did a hypnobirth. She liked it so much. She became one. Yeah, she does it
like,
now.
Anne Summers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you like it so much, you just go on to be a rep for it.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, right. I didn't know what a reference was about. Sorry, I was like, what did Anne Summers do that turned her into that filthy shop owner?
Anne Summers would have been better, but...
You never had Anne Summers parties as a kid? Like, your mum had one in the living room.
My mum's an Irish Catholic woman. She would not have one of those filthy parties. One of your sex parties.
I was told to dress up. I always say it's a weird thing. I was only like 10 and then I had to put on some...
You're the little mum. You sure it was an Anne Summers party?
A little French maid.
Epstein party.
It was actually my sister, because she had I've got a lot older sisters. My oldest sister's like, oh my god, she's like 65 or whatever, and so yes.
That old.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a gap.
Actually, maybe not 60. Yeah, she was at 18 when I was born.
Oh, right.
As my mum always says, I didn't plan any of you. Just like, oh, another one's come along with really weird gaps. But yeah, so my sister had like an Anne Summers party because that was the fashion.
Mm.
Have a little Anne Summers all for show, the little dildos around. Oh, have a try of that on
the
your
little
nose.
Ones and the big ones.
And you had to they passed it around and they had to like try what it would be like on your nose.
Yes, it was always the nose.
Why the nose?
Your nose is nothing like...
No.
Like,
why would they? What's the nose thing about?
I guess because it's.
I suppose it's quite sensitive.
Yeah,
part of the body.
Everyone wants to rub their nose now. Where did we? What were we talking about? Births.
Yeah.
Hypnobirthing.
Yeah. Move on. Pick another number. Unless you have any more to add.
What did you say? Number 50.
That's a recent one. 50 was. Married at First Sight.
Ah.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, we went a bit mad over lockdown. Because over lockdown, we did. Well, first of all, we were doing an episode a week.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing else to do. We're like, the people need us. The mummies need us. Let's do an episode a week, man. They need us. And then we kind of like got busy and then we started doing little mini podcasts. And we both loved Married at First Sight.
Did you watch?
Sight,
is it an English one? Oh, Australian one. Yeah, I've watched some of the last.
No, that was the English one.
Yeah, I don't know. You got me into it, didn't you?
Yeah. So I said, let's watch it and we'll talk about it. But we did one episode where, they don't really need to
what
hear
are
us
they like?
Talking about it.
Because the Australian one was, I watched about maybe 7 or 8 episodes, and they're the worst people I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
the English ones.
Oh, are they
the
bad as well?
Oh, even a Bitsy. He was my favourite though.
They're horrible.
But they're so horrible. But the English one was, it's the same sort of formula, but you do get invested, don't you? You get a bit like,
what's the formula? What is?
You never watched it?
No, I've heard of it.
They find 20 of the worst people in the country. Yeah. And they coupled
them. Oh, they did get in touch, yeah. I was busy.
Do you fancy getting married at, literally, you don't know you're going to meet your bride.
You meet them at the
I suppose
altar.
Some religions do it, don't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
And they know nothing.
But they don't film it and then follow them afterwards with a camera crew.
So they sort of research what their type would be, do they?
We've got our experts. Our experts have put these two together. They've still got one of the Australian judges coming.
And who are the experts? Some like airhead kind of.
Well, the thing is, the experts, like, they've never got one right, have they? In the whole history of the show. So they're not that good, are they?
Well, they're on the Australian series six, I think, or four. They're still together and they've got kids. Well, they say they're still together. It could just all be a publicity thing. She's got Instagram deals and that coming out of her ear holes. That's why they do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But on the English one, there was a gay couple, and I think they might be one of the only ones that are still together.
I think they are still together.
Yeah.
But desperate. Yeah, I'm going to say
gay women or gay men.
They were just okay, you're a perfect match. There's nothing interesting in it.
But they weren't at all the perfect match.
Don't you think?
They were not matched at all. One lived in Northern Ireland, the other one lived in Leeds. None of them wanted to move, but they were like, okay, let's make it work.
That's why it works, probably.
But they won a bit of controversy, like the Australian one. I don't know if you saw this one where she comes down the aisle and she sees the guy, he's got a eyebrow pierce.
Yeah.
And the first thing she says to him, and she goes, "Well, that's got to go." That's the first thing she said.
That's no good.
She was nasty. She ended up cheating on him and everything with another. Yeah, not nice. Move on. Let's do a quick one and then we'll do a. We're saying goodbye. I can't believe it's gone so flipping fast. Flip, flip, flop.
Go on then, choose a number.
Choose a number, oh, yeah.
It's your turn.
Is it?
Yeah, I took the last one.
Okay. 34.
Oh, we're going back.
34 is.
Might be pre Gemma times.
It was Michelle de Swartz, TV Mums again.
Oh, I'll pick another one then.
Well, no, actually, because we talked
Epstein Island, didn't she? Did she talk about that?
Not to the island. She went to. She got invited to a hotel.
I thought she got flown to the island.
No, it was a hotel party, and then she got invited to the island. She said no. She could. She got a whiff that maybe it wasn't the best place to go.
Has she gone public about this?
She talks about it on stage.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Sorry, just to clarify. Okay.
Yeah.
She's got an NDA, but we have just ruined it.
That was when we were talking about the Botox.
Yes.
Well,
and
should you get it for your kids?
Yeah.
As they're born.
Yeah. Start in the get no lines at all, and you'll never be able to tell when they're happy or sad.
Yep.
Just got a neutral child. She was fantastic. I mean, she played the mum in The Duchess, so that's where she was on. But she's made the very clever decision to not be a mum in real life. I'm joking. And she also does my Screaming with Laughter gig, an absolute bring the house down, they love her. We were talking about Botox, and at that time you just got a voucher.
Did you get it? Did you consider it?
Can you not tell?
I cannot tell.
Which is good. This is what you want.
You didn't. Did you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good.
How long does it last?
3 months.
When did you get it?
I'm 8 weeks in.
Okay.
So whereabouts did you get it? In your hands.
Just here. I'm trying to get rid of this awful line.
There's no line there. It's working.
Yeah.
What does it feel like? What are they putting in there?
They kill the nerves.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't.
Did you watch? I weirdly saw a bit of a Celebrity MasterChef episode with Duncan from Blue.
Oh yes, I saw a bit of that.
And apparently he filmed it the day after he got Botox, and he got loads and all these his face
does swell up.
Oh mate, his face looked so. He looked like a Bo Selecta character.
He looked bad. That had Sue Pollard in it as well, didn't it?
It does go down though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he might look dreamy again.
It's about taking it.
But I think it's also about getting it now and again might be all right. It's when you start getting all of the stuff.
Would it bother you if your lady's got...
It wouldn't bother me. No. It'd be very out of character. She doesn't even wear much makeup and stuff. She's quite sort of acoustic.
Natural. I'm not actually with my baby mamas.
Are you with any women at the moment?
You know what I mean?
This could be your time to shine.
I wouldn't mind if anyone gets Botox. No, if they wanted it and they're happier afterwards.
You wouldn't do it.
They can get. Yeah.
You sometimes talk about.
Don't know what I'd get. I mean, I'm not against it, is what I mean. If there's something I thought I'd needed, which obviously there isn't. But
no, obviously, it's nothing you need. Absolutely.
I might get TRT in my 50s or something. Testosterone.
Boobs. Get boobs put on.
Might get
another ball attached.
We've got to wrap things up, I think you two have been a fine example of fathers.
Yeah,
why we shouldn't have dads.
I know, I don't think you should. I think you should stick to women.
But before
I was saying to my daughter when she gets to dating age.
Okay, we always say, like, if you had a night out and without the kids, and we'll take the kids off your hands, where would you go? What would you do? Who would you go with? What are you eating? This obviously was like big when in lockdown, so maybe I need to change this question, Gemma. But
I have nights without my kids, yeah, so yeah, yeah. I just do what I do.
Just give us a dream night then.
The gym, sauna, swim. I did a sauna yesterday and then went outside in the cold, walked around an outdoor swimming pool. It's really nice. Really good.
Yeah.
Have you got into the outdoor swimming? Is that something?
No, I didn't get
outside
in
walking.
I just walked around the pool, but nobody was there. It was completely empty and it was really cold out.
It is great. I've been to Hampstead Ponds.
Yeah.
Not when it's like full 0 degrees out, but when it's been like 6-7 degrees. It's pretty brutal when you jump in, but
I've been there. I lost my swimming costume there, but that's another question.
How did that happen?
Not in the sexy way you might think it would.
My dream, not a dream, but basically, because she's only 18 months, we're still co-sleeping.
Yeah. Oh.
So, and as yet...
What, taking turns at sleeping, you mean? Oh, no. Someone does the day shift.
So she decided Twyla still sleeps in the bed with us.
Oh, okay. That's all right, though.
It's lovely.
She still does it sometimes.
So it's that thing at the minute, we've never had a night where it's just been the two of us without our, I'm not saying that as a bad, but it is that thing of, I suppose it would be a night just out and in a hotel, not in a sort of the two of us together,
clapping them cheeks.
Yeah.
God, but she would scream all night, Susan.
Definitely. So,
do you put her down in her bed, or does she start?
No, we tend to still like she's got. We've got a little sort of one of them bloody Montessori floor beds at the end of ours that she's sort of getting used to. But she still does want to sleep with us.
And
we're still cool with it. I still really like it.
Ren
waking up in the morning
in
is so nice when you're literally woken up by a little toddler just sort of tapping you, like, come on, then the day's starting.
No,
I love it. But I don't mind. Yeah, I genuinely find it a lovely way to wake up.
Oh.
That's nice.
Little alarm clock with no snooze button.
I feel bad because I was like, I cannot wait to get them in their own room. But that's because I just feel like I wake up at every twitch. But, you know, even when they were babies, and I never really co-sleeping, but, like, you know, if they're a bit poorly or something, you end up having them in the bed for a little bit or the cot next to me or whatever.
You've got two, have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the six-year-old went for a big phase of coming in really in the middle of the night.
Late at night.
Yeah, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Yeah. And
drunk.
Drunk again. And now he's doing it again because of flipping Christmas elf. But we're not talking about that because this is the new year. Anyway, we're going to go. And this is your time to shine, boys. Anything you want to big up?
All my soldiers and my kings. my dads.
Just listen to our podcast.
Your podcast.
TVI. It's good fun.
You're big time now. You're on Patreon.
That's not. But anyone can sign up as a patron.
Yeah, we are, but no signed up.
I mean, you have got to get people to sign up as well. But our podcast is very silly and fun. It's
so
an hour
good.
Of silly chat with
it
a
is.
Guest.
It's good. I do enjoy it.
And we have a laugh.
Yeah, it's very good. Well, thank you for coming on. What should we play out with? What did we not play? Oh, I've got something for Gemma.
Is it George Michael?
Yeah, it's cool because it's going to be George Michael. So thank you, Cole Donnelly.
Cheers,
thank you, Julian Dean. Thank you, Gemma Beagley. And we all need a bit of, you can tell I'm such a great DJ. Okay. We all need a little bit of a father figure. From George Michael. Thank you very much for listening. Keep listening, downloading, and telling people because we all need a little bit of a laugh. Bye. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with the Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.